Now, am I close enough to the mic? There are many thoughts which have coursed through my mind since I knew that I would be speaking this evening. In a word, what I wish to speak about is repentance. As a continuing principle, some people observe that the repentance which precedes baptism, while it's effective enough, they don't seem to realize that that's only the opening of the door. And something that's going to be around for a long time. After all, it's one of the principles of the gospel. The gospel is continuous. Its principles, therefore, should be the same. I had it in mind to make a reading from the Book of Alma. This is a letter of Alma to his son Shiblon. My son, give ear to my words, for I say unto you, even as I said unto Helaman, that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And inasmuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cast off from his presence. And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as you have commenced in your youth to look to the Lord your God, even so, I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments, for blessed is he that endureth to the end. I say unto you, my son, that I have had great joy in thee already because of thy faithfulness and thy diligence and thy patience and thy long suffering among the people of the Zoramites. For I knew that thou wast in bonds. In our language, we'd say in jail. Yea, and I also knew that thou wast stoned for the word's sake. And thou didst bear all these things with patience, because the Lord was with thee. And now thou knowest that the Lord did deliver thee. And now, my son Shiblon, I would that ye should remember that as much as ye shall put your trust in God, even so much as ye shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and ye shall be lifted up at the last day. This is what I principally want to draw to your attention, but I do not wish to split it off from the other thoughts which were attached. Now, my son, I would not that ye should think that I know these things of myself, but it is the Spirit of God which is in me, which maketh these things known unto me. For if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But behold, the Lord in his great mercy sent his angels to declare unto me that I must stop the work of destruction among his people. Yea, and I have seen an angel face to face, and he spake with me, and his voice was as thunder, and it shook the whole earth. And it came to pass that I was 3 days and three nights in the most bitter pain and anguish of soul, and never until I did cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy did I receive a remission of my sins. Now remember, Christ had not been born yet at this time. And yet this man had the privilege of addressing a prayer to Christ. Now this is a little bit new to me. I customarily address my prayers to God the Father of Jesus Christ and use Christ's name as a go-between. I'm glad to be reminded of this, and I've got to repent of my attitude. I had read the book before, but I did not retain everything. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is the word of truth and righteousness. And now, as ye have begun to teach the word, even so I would that ye should continue to teach, and I would that ye would be diligent and temperate in all things. See that ye are not lifted up unto pride. Yea, see that ye do not boast in your own wisdom, nor of your much strength use boldness, but not overbearance. And also see that ye bridle all your passions, that ye may be filled with love. See that ye refrain from idleness. Do not pray as the Zoramites do, for ye have seen that they pray to be heard of men, and to be praised for their wisdom. Do not say, O God, I thank thee that we are better than our brethren, but rather say, O Lord, forgive my unworthiness, and remember my brethren in mercy. Yea, acknowledge your unworthiness before God at all times. And may the Lord bless your soul and receive you at the last day into his kingdom to sit down in peace. Now go, my son, and teach the word unto this people. Be sober. My son, farewell. This ends the letter. I was almost startled to hear this text read. At the most recent baptism that we have had here, of a Wednesday night, Can you imagine more people present at the prayer meeting than what we have here? This is not our custom. I have pictures of the crowd, which are not developed yet, but I would estimate the crowd at almost 100 people. Where did they come from? The Vogel's son David was baptized. And it almost looked like every kid in the whole church was there to see it. Would it be unholy to use the word bingo? Something is going on. What did it? Excuse me. Now, let me refer to the opening song. I had asked for it because of the main idea. Soldiers of Christ, arise. That is a command and a challenge which many people who attend church do not regard as their attitude. I still have not heard any comments about a spiritual message that was included in the last Advocate or a very recent one. This is not the first such message that we had some 20 years before. Our brother Roland Surratt brought forth a message not quite so long. But it did mention that there were things which had been introduced into the church which ought not. So, what do we have to repent of? I would say plenty. And I'm sure that the future of the church hangs on what we do. In the last message, and I don't know the lady. I have heard tell that she has some relation and acquaintance within the church. Margaret Smith is possibly distantly related to Brother Jensen, as well as perhaps the Gould tribe. Do any of you know that, the details of that? Well, now this is interesting. But considering that there's some validity, I would like to talk to the lady herself to understand the means and the methods by means of which this information has come to us. I would like to understand that a little bit better. Nevertheless, there was mention made in there that so many people going to church go to be lulled to sleep, to be comforted, to be patted on the back, as it were. The message was, that we are called not for comfort, not to comfort, but to battle. What are you going to do about it? We read about a young man that took quite a lot of punishment, wound up in jail, got himself stoned. Not in the slang definition of the term. When you have got rocks coming at you, you've got something to think about. So, where does that leave us? For this reason, I chose the opening song. Being a soldier is no picnic. We've seen it in the newspapers. It has cost some their lives. Just lately. And the carcass of one captive was dragged through the streets of a foreign city. One of our men. Did he have that in mind when he signed up? Now, let's talk about equipment. A soldier needs equipment. You don't send him out there in swimming trunks. Some of the equipment costs millions of dollars. Now the question is, if we are to be called to battle, how well equipped are we and what equipment do we need? I have this one suggestion which pops into my head all the time because I am short in that particular area myself, and that is knowledge of the general content of the scriptures. When I was raised, there were religious arguments going on in the small town, and all you heard in religious discussions were these specific references that had to do in arguing about the particular question that was at hand. As a consequence, I personally found it hard to remember a lot of those things because there was no framework in which I could place them. I think we should do better than I did. And I'm glad to see some of the studies that are engaging our people in Sunday school, as well as otherwise, to get the scriptures under your belt. If you read the Book of Mormon, you will find out that throughout their history, things would be going along pretty good, and then somebody would come up with a wild idea and start peddling it. And people who didn't know any better bit. I'm sure that you can examine the history of our church and find out where these idea peddlers have come amongst us, and people not well founded in the scripture listen to the sound of the voice and the firmness of the assertion and think, well, this guy must know what he's talking about. Would you like to get a real discussion going? There's a four-letter word that can spring more ideas than the Constitution of the United States. The four-letter word starts with the last word of the alphabet. The next letter is I. What are the next two letters? O and N. Zion. Listen, I'm not sure what I think about the whole thing myself from the different references that I find. A lot of people think that it's right here in good old Independence, where our morning discourse said that our people were run out of there in the first place. So repent. Get your head into these books. I find it's much easier to read the Book of Mormon in this form than in the columns that some other versions of it are printed. I can scan it much more readily. Now, who do you think you might battle? We ran into it in the Sunday school study this morning, but not quite. We were talking about Gentiles and Jews and the Holy Spirit, how it works, but this is from Nephi's vision long before Christ was ever born. Something like 600 B.C., if you believe the footnotes in this particular book. And I begin reading on page 35. And they were talking about the book that proceeds out of the mouth of a Jew. Verse 160, and I, Nephi, beheld it, and he said unto me, the book that thou beheldest is a record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record, like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore, they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, and this book says it contained the plainness. However, in our recent printing of the Book of Mormon, they found out from the manuscript that the word really is fullness. So it should read, and when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. Now, the apostles hadn't even been born at this time. Nephi was able to see into the future what would be. It contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of a great and abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. Now, I purposely didn't just rattle through these words, because there's punch in there. There's emphasis. There is power. And no holding back. How bad can you get if you're going to be the most? Joe Montana is the most in his field. They've even named a town after him now, the town of Joe Montana. That continues, for behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity. Thou seest, because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. Because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. Do you doubt that this is what they're talking about? I have seen a writing which says that even before the Bible book was taken out of manuscript, there were certain ideas inserted in it so that the subsequent translators picked them up and stuck them right in there. But they did it to peddle an idea which would give them power over people who would seem compelled to accept this notion because it was in the manuscript. Subsequent Bible students have found these things, and of course, they don't advertise it to the world. Nevertheless, this and this is what we've got to work with. There's part of your armor for the battle. Get loaded. Put some ammunition in your firing equipment. I'll tell you, I was ill-equipped. Nevertheless, I had occasion. When I was living in Milwaukee, the Ray Hunholzes were extremely good to me. I only had nickels and dimes at the time, but they gave me a Bible. And you know, I read that whole thing. I burned some midnight oil. As a consequence, when I was confronted with a certain concept and a notion, I said, I read that whole Bible and I don't find anything at all like that in there. I was trying to prepare myself to talk to some other guys who were religiously inclined, and I knew that I was ill-equipped. I didn't even know for sure when they come up with this John 3:16, which we heard about this morning. You see it on the TV all the time. You'd think that was the only word that was ever in the Bible. Nobody ever told them, you better read the rest of the chapter. But they don't bother to read the rest of the chapter. They rely on what they keep hearing. And many societies have a pattern of thought which they emphasize. And they go over it and over it and over it until you think that's all there was. And they develop certain words which mean something special to them. And as we found out this morning, you oftentimes don't understand everything that the word implies. We had the word manifest in Sunday school going around and round and round. What does manifest means? Well, when I was a shipping clerk, the manifest was that piece of paper that said what was in the package. But that's the way they used it. Tongue-wagging notions. Is that all that we have? Traditions. Is that in the next pocket and all that we have? Or do we have the Spirit of God working with us directly, as it may well have done for Martha Smith? And before that, Roland Surratt. Both of whom assert that things have been introduced into the church which ought not to have been introduced, without naming them. I find myself wishing that things had been more specific. But almost any body of people have ideas going in and out, back and forth, depending on somebody's notions or ambitions. And the soldier of Christ needs to be armed against these sorts of things. Otherwise, you're going to come away bleeding, as it were. Oh, well, that's work. I've got other things I would like to do. So what? So you've got to keep going over and over and over these things. I saw on television some guy advertised that if you took his course in memory, that you'd just have just a fantastic memory. That you could recall things in vast detail, at great length. I can't remember where I put the piece of paper that had his 800 number on it. It's around someplace. But there are things that I know that I have to repent of. It's kind of like this old house that I live in. When we came back from Minneapolis, we had a wing that had a a bathroom and a bedroom in it and just a crawl space under it. We repented and put a full foundation, the full width of the house, underneath that wing. And I can't imagine how we could have got by if we hadn't. But it's not pulling its weight like it ought to. I need to repent. Our roof got jimmied up by the hail here not long ago. And we could have braved it out. But five or six or seven houses right around us were getting their roofs replaced. And so even though the shingles were only 3 years old, the man says they're damaged. They didn't look damaged. In fact, I suppose many of the things of which we should repent in our personal lives as well as our systems of thought. Now here's another area where repentance applies, is in what goes on in your head up here and how you handle information. Maybe we're trying to pound nails with the wrong side of the claw hammer. Did you ever try that? All you've got to do is turn it over. Or turn over whatever you're trying to drive nails in so you can pound up instead of down. Now, which would you like best? We are at the point of decision, where decision and action are required. A lot of my work experience was in engineering departments. And I still say that engineers' brains are put together different. Brother Dick and Brother Lee can tell me about that. They will take information and handle it in a different fashion. Not according to what suits the boss, or we'll get them the best raise, but what's going to keep the structure from falling apart when you build according to the plan that you've got this information to do it from? That's the bottom line. Now I'll tell you about a challenge that I've got. Some of you know that my wife and I go to garage sales almost like it was a disease. I was at a garage sale and I saw a lady bending over looking at something, and I thought, that lady looks familiar, but she's faced away from me, and I didn't want to be obvious or obstreperous and speak to her out of turn. But if I were a betting man, I would almost bet you that it was Ronnie Sheldon's mother. Well, anyway, we find out a number of things in just looking around. And one of the things we find is that a lot of people get rid of an awful lot of good stuff just to get the place clear. I told our brother Dan this morning about one of the killings that I make. Here was an expensive German camera that must have cost somebody over $500. Way back, still good. I'm not going to tell you how little I paid for that. Dan knows, and I'm going to ask him not to tell anybody else. People are treating lightly things of high value. And I think that we sometimes treat lightly the scripture, which I'll have to admit in my case, sometimes sitting down and reading the scripture puts me to sleep. I've got to fix that. And I worry about it some. And you know, I found some of the most interesting things. For example, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel and figured greatly in all the religious history, almost all the religious history of the Jews. He was mixed up with at least four women, the first one, he got tricked into picking up with one called Leah because he was in love with her younger sister. But the old man fobbed Leah off on Jacob and told him afterwards, well, I'll give you the other one too. And then there was a contest going in there. Can you imagine four women in the same house, all of them trying to be pregnant? And beat the score of the other women? Now listen, if you want soap opera, you can find it and you can just wonder at what poor old Jacob was. Now here's another item. My sister Katie and I had a little argument about the animals which the Nephites found when they came to this continent. She told me, sure enough, yes, there was camels and there was elephants. How many of you Book of Mormon readers agree with that? And tigers. Oh? Well, the alpaca and the llama are considered a camel type. How long have they been here? So what do? We go back to the book. Not because we hated one another, but it just didn't ring right with me, so I went and looked it up, and you know she did too. And she found out that her story wasn't right, so she had to repent. The only sneaky part is that he mentioned the animals of the wilderness were there too, and he doesn't define them. But there were oxen and cows and other beasts which were left over from the people that had been here before. Who were the people that were here before? The Jaredites who came out from the Tower of Babel in sailboats? No. Swimming? Well, not exactly. They came over in submarines. Boats that were tight on the top and tight on the bottom like a dish, and they had air holes that they could open and shut on both sides, depending on circumstance. And they were in there for 344 days, just getting across from wherever the Tower of Babel was to this continent. And they brought animals with them, and they fed them. 344 days. Columbus didn't take that long. What do you do for light inside of a submarine? Well, they had lights. You want to find out? Go to the Book of Ether and find out about the rocks that God made glow, that they put in one in each end of these boats. The boats were as long as they said a tree is. I don't know what kind of a tree you're talking about, but it could have been almost 200 feet long. How do you keep the animals quiet for 344 days? Does that prove anything about God particularly? No, it's in the book. It's part of their record. The coloration and all the civilization that they developed disappeared before the Nephites came at 600 BC and found the last one remaining fella. The people had formed into two bodies and fought it to the death. And the two last guys were the leaders. Everybody else, women and children with armor on, killed. And he lived long enough to be discovered by the Nephites, and not much more. A whole civilization completely wiped out. Do you think God is duty-bound to make it any easier for us? If you want something to keep you awake nights, read your newspapers. Things are forming right now to fulfill the book of Revelations, where unless you got the sign in your head or in your hand, you can't even do business. You know what a credit card is? In which can be embedded a computer chip. How many pages of information that little chip can hold is about 1,600 pages of information about you. And if you can't bank without that card, or get your money out of the bank without that card, all somebody has to do is goof up the computer someplace and lock up your account, and you're dead. Unless you can borrow from friends. And that's what's looking you in the eye right now, even as we speak. To my way of thinking, it's being introduced under the cover of concern about our health and the need to have an ID card. And what computers can do these days, even the computer people can't hardly believe it. If they want to catch you, all they've got to do is goof up your bank account, and when you go down there to the bank to holler, when you walk in the door, they'll know who you are. Well, so read the rest of the book of Revelation, see what's coming on. It is no picnic. It is not going to be any game for sissies. You won't be able to cry and carry on and get somebody to sympathize with you and make you feel a little better, which won't solve anything. It's prophesied. All you have to do is read it. Oh, but I would rather read the Psalms. They're lovelier. And yet you will find out that the Psalms are loaded. If you read some of the commentaries that students have come up with regard to those things. No picnic, not even a burned hot dog. So what do? Change your mind. The first thing to do is change. And especially, I suppose, I'm more sensitive to this because of being an elder. There's a lot of difference between a sheep and a soldier. Many people think that it's easier to be a sheep and just follow whatever lead that somebody puts on. At least in the old days, in the stockyards, they used to have a way of using the tendency of sheep to follow. They had this old goat trained to go in the sheep pen and lead the sheep into the boxcar to be shipped away, or wherever they wanted the sheep to go, this old goat would go first, and they'd follow him, because they want to follow somebody. They did not want any responsibility. And this is what followers sometimes do. They do not want the responsibility of knowing. They do not want the responsibility of making a decision on their own, independently. So watch out for old goats. You might see them most anywhere. I'm getting to be one myself. Sometimes you will have to express an opinion. I expressed an opinion once, and I'm sure it got me fired. I was a machine designer for Kenworth Motor Truck Company here in town at the time. And the boss was telling about what kind of machines we couldn't have because we couldn't design them. I made the remark, "Don't bet any big money that I can't." He didn't say anything. Very shortly after that, he handed me a check. He says, "We don't need your services anymore." And that's what got me to Cedar Falls, Iowa. Your choice may be as critical as that. Brother Glenn was telling me this morning that in some classwork that he was doing, he made disparaging remarks about the prevailing theory of evolution. He stuck his neck out. The man carries a PhD. He ought to know. It is my hope that you will not have to confront any of the criminals which are increasing in number in our society. But I'll have this to say. I hope for their sake and their physical well-being that none of those crooks run into a small man that I know that runs a health food store right down here at the junction. In his swimming trunks, the way I put it, he's about as dangerous as an army tank. He is equipped. He is armed for self-defense with his bare hands. You would live or die at his pleasure. Without ever making an opening in your hide. The only choice you would have is how many broken arms you want to go along with your broken neck. Now that's battle. Change your mind if you need to. There will be times when you will have to warn others. There will be times when you will have to step out of your pattern of convenience. And sometimes put yourself at risk because they will come at you. We have got this tremendous building here because somebody decided to come at us. And I still say he ought to have a gold medal. Can you imagine us trying to handle the crowds that we've had in the old building? God knew that we needed this. And this is what I love so much about God. He sometimes goes at things so indirect that you don't see that it's him doing it until you turn around and look back. I had the pleasure, and I've said this before, of telling an RLDS lady in response to her question, "Well, where did you people borrow the money to build that building?" I told her we didn't. And I think the bishops can confirm that we didn't borrow a dime off of anybody. This is not the custom of churches. Churches like to build buildings and have mortgages and all those things that they can beat the drum about, because that's about all they've got to talk about, is the new building. Well, I'm glad. Repent. Things have been introduced into the church which ought not to be. We've had two shots of information saying the same thing. I'm sure that if each of you will take your individual responsibility and go to God, as the sister did who received the communication, with great earnestness we'll find out. Then the question is, will we have the nerve to do it? I pray, God, in behalf of you all, and I pray that each one of you will receive your own answer. First for yourself, then for the church as an organization. I'm sure that I've got a lot of patching up to do, just like I have on my old house, which after 30 years still isn't done. And I don't suppose my own repentance pattern shall ever be done either. May God bless you, is my prayer.